Welcome back to Out on a Tangent. My name is Becca, and I am alone again this time, but that's okay. This was a listener request of books that should be on your bucket list. So I asked the staff here, and I asked a couple of my friends who are avid readers, some books that they would suggest for teens and tweens. So I have them separated out into teen and then tween. So I think I will start with our teen books. We have Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. Now, that one is not necessarily going to be in the teen section, but that one is definitely more adult for teens. It is one of the, you say dystopian novel, that is one of the ones people come up with. So it's a dystopian novel that is a classic of the sci-fi genre. And it really does speak to our 21st century world. This one I have read, and it was bizarre, and it's really interesting to see how you can relate it back to what's going on in our world right now. Batman, The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller. This is very much a dark version of Batman, but it's a classic, and it's one of the most influential versions of Batman out there. Like, if you're looking at, Christopher Nolan's Batman, the movies, it would not exist without Frank Miller's Batman. That's how influential this is. Is very much not camp. If you want camp Batman, that is not what you want. This is dark and gritty, very much a product of its time. The Snow Fell Three Graves Deep, Voices from the Donner Party by Alan Wolfe. This is told in verse and multiple voices, and it tells the dark tale of the Donner Party. So there are lots of facts with character biography, statistics, and timeline of events, and more in the book. But what's really cool is that it's told by the people, almost like journal entries, but in verse. So it's a really interesting one, and it really can tie you into the history there. Radio Silence by Alice Oseman. So this book deals with themes of identity, diversity, and the freedom to choose. A teenage girl struggling through the pressures of academia, learning to embrace herself, friendship, and how the education system is not all it's cracked up to be. This one really, I believe Dina was the one that suggested this one, and it really reminded her of her time as a teenager and dealing with academia. So it was a really good eye-opener, and she felt seen because of that. Our Dreams at Dusk by Yuki Kamitani. This is a manga about coming of age and coming out and finding community. There are four volumes total. The artwork is really, really beautiful. But it has a whole community about finding that yourself in that community, finding your community. It's really, really lovely. Persepolis by Marjane Satrapi. This is a memoir told in comic strips, telling the story of the author's childhood in Tehran, moving and living in Vienna, homecoming, and then self-imposed exile from that homeland. I've read this one and watched the movie. I would really, stress, read it and watch the movie. It gives you a different feel, but it's really worth it for both of them. And it's really cool seeing that part of history and how moving from one country to another and even giving up your home. It's really wonderful how it's told. Skip and Loafer by Misaki Takamatsu. So this is a manga that's still ongoing. There are 9 published so far. It's a slice of life, coming of age series about a girl who moves from the country to Tokyo to go to high school and her journey of making friends there. So, if you've never read A Slice of Life, anything, it literally is just about everyday kind of thing. So there's no like fantastical, nothing crazy. It's down to earth and cozy. But letting you get into the life of someone else. And this one is very lovely. The art is also beautiful. We had several people suggest this one. Nimona by N.D. Stevenson. A science fantasy graphic novel that follows Nimona, a shapeshifter who insists on being the sidekick to Ballister Blackheart, who was a knight but now is a scientific villain, as they take on the Institute and Blackheart's former best friend, Golden Loin. There are science and magic, intrigue, and a lot of heart. And I've talked about Nimona on this podcast before, and I cannot stress enough how wonderful this graphic novel is. There is so much depth in the graphic novel, and if you've only seen the Netflix movie, I highly encourage you to go read the graphic novel too, because there's so much that they couldn't fit in to the movie. Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card. A military sci-fi novel that has become a classic and is even used by militaries as required reading. This book showcases the horrors of a society that is focused on war and training children to fight. Ender, who is a military genius, works his way up the ranks to learn the truth. I remember reading this, I want to say middle school age is when I first read this, and it was mind-blowing to me. Just the idea that they're raising children to fight in war, and just the extent they go to in this society. It was crazy, but really cool. And there are more in the series if you choose to go there. I have not yet. It's on my TBR. But it's really good for that genre. Road to Nowhere by Christopher Pike. This is the next step for Goosebumps kids. Would be Christopher Pike. This novel tells the story of a girl who picks up 2 hitchhikers, and they tell each other some truly dark stories while also being in a dark story themselves. If you are ready to kind of move up from Goosebumps, Christopher Pike is a good choice. There is a lot of them, but they're easy reads, similar to Goosebumps, so that way you're not bogged down by like an entire series. But they're still dark and thriller and horror-y. Now we're moving on to the tween books. We have The Giver by Lois Lowry. One of the earliest dystopian novels for kids, this book deals with some tough topics of a utopian society that has removed all emotion, except for a person called The Giver, who has all of the memories of the good and the bad of human society. And I've talked about The Giver before. It is one of my absolute favorite books of all time. I felt like the movie didn't do it justice. The author actually was pretty happy with it. But this is a book that I believe I had to read in school. But I was, like, I devoured that book. And I suggest it to everyone. Because it really gives you a sense of really looking at your society and what you could potentially do to change. Good Different by Meg Eden Coyote, a novel in verse about a neurodivergent girl who comes to understand and celebrate what makes her different. A 7th grader named Sila has rules for being normal, but realizes that it is okay to not be normal and that different can be good. The entire children's department read this book. We all loved it. Reading a book in verse can sometimes be weird and a little daunting. This one was easy to read. It felt almost natural to me. And it was a great way to look into the mind of someone who is neurodivergent and how they feel about things, how they come to accept themselves. And it was really lovely to do that. Ella Enchanted by Gail Carson Levine. Ella was cursed at birth to be obedient, but she is constantly fighting against and trying to break the curse, all while becoming friends with a prince, elves, giants, and even some ogres. This Cinderella retelling is full of humor, but also takes the traditional role of girls in fairy tales and gives the power back to them. I love this book. I read this book so many times, like from my library as a kid, and then I ended up buying it because I love this book. It is possibly one of my favorite Cinderella retellings. It is a very funny book, and Ella is a great character. Like, she is not some damsel in distress. She's not going to let anything stop her, and it is so much better than the movie. Like, the movie does not do this book justice, honestly. The We Free Men by Terry Pratchett. Tiffany Aching must journey into Fairyland to rescue her brother, who is taken by the Queen of the Elves, by teaming up with the Nac Mac Fiegel, or the We Free Men. This is a great introduction into Terry Pratchett's unique humor and the wonder that is Discworld. So, there are lots of novels in the Discworld series, but Terry Pratchett did a series of them focusing on Tiffany Aching, and they're a great introduction into how he tells stories. And it's just really, really fun. Like, I love his humor. I cannot get enough of his humor. The Witch of Blackbird Pond by Elizabeth George Spear. Set in 1687, an orphaned girl named Kit moves from the Caribbean to a very Puritan Connecticut, where she feels completely alone until she meets an old Quaker woman who is called a witch. Eventually, Kit is suspected of witchcraft because of her association. This one is, like, standard for early historical fiction. Like, it really gets you kind of into the genre and it being accessible. I have not read this one yet, but I feel like I should now, because it missed my radar for so long, but now I'm looking at it and I'm like, I kind of want to go back and read this one. The Girl Who Drank the Moon by Kelly Barnhill. A girl who was raised by a witch, a swamp monster, and a perfectly tiny dragon, was given extraordinary magic when she was filled with moonlight as a baby. Now she must use this magic to defend the people who have raised her. This one sounds really cool. This one also missed my radar. This one sounds really, really cool, because it just seems like it has, again, kind of a lot of humor, but a nice, almost dark magic, but it's not, like, dark, like, evil magic. I think because of it being in a swamp and stuff, it feels like you're in night all the time, and I like that idea, and I really want to know more about this perfectly tiny dragon, because it's a perfectly tiny dragon, I want to know. But it sounds really cool, and I want to go back and read that one. The Wrinkle in Time series by Madeline L'Engle. So it's called the Time Quintet. This consists of a wrinkle in time, a wind in the door, a swiftly tilting planet, many waters, and an acceptable time. This series deals with family, good versus evil, religion and science, and magic. I have read this entire series. I adore this series. It is a little hard when they start getting into a lot of the science and math, but I feel the storytelling is worth it. It's very intriguing how she deals with science and religion together, how those relate to each other, how family can come together. Growing up, I had only read the first three, and then one Christmas my parents had gotten me the entire box set, so I finally read the last two, and honestly, I wish I had read them sooner, because the last two were really like, I really loved it. Many Waters dealt with two of the siblings time traveling back to the time of Noah. That was insane. My favorite character is the main one of A Swiftly Tilting Planet, Charles Wallace. That was my favorite book of the series. It still is. But, like, it's just really cool how everything melds together in this series. Next, we have Coraline by Neil Gaiman. Coraline has moved into a new apartment with her parents, where she discovers a door into another world. But it is a world that is almost identical to hers, except the other mother is not all she's cracked up to be. If you have seen the movie is lovely. I love the movie. But the book is so much darker. Like, reading it, I'm sitting here going, how did this get published for a kid's book? But it makes sense. It's just that right side of creepy that kids can deal with. But reading it as an adult, I was questioning things. I adore Neil Gaiman, and then this is a great introduction into his storytelling as well. And if you fall in love with both Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, then you need to go and read Good Omens, because that's the two of them together. Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan. The first Muslim-American superhero, Kamala Khan, is a great addition to the Marvel Universe and covers some tough subjects. I have not read all of her stuff, but I put her in here because I feel like her as a character, we needed her. She put a whole new spin. I got to learn about Muslim community, things I did not know about, her view on the world, just her as a person and a superhero. I really adore her. I cannot stress how much I love Kamala. The Last Battle, which is the 7th book in the Chronicles of Narnia. It's the final book. So it's the last book in the Chronicles of Narnia. This book really takes a look at religion and how it is portrayed. All the beloved characters return for the end. This one really is the culmination of the series. I mean, it makes sense. It's the last book. But it really takes everything that you've learned about Narnia and everything you think you know about religion and kind of turns it on its head a little bit. I know this book has made several of my friends question their views on religion and how they see religion. Not in a bad way, but just kind of makes them look at it in a new light. Some have been strengthened in that. Some have been turned off by it. It depends on the person. But it was really a good look at that. And just seeing all the characters that you fell in love with in this series kind of come back together. It was really nice. So yeah, that's kind of our bucket list of books. Let us know if there are things you think we should have put on our list. Or you want to tell us about your bucket list. That would be awesome. Especially with summer coming up, figured we'd throw this one out there to help you get some summer reading in. I will be back in 2 weeks with a new topic, and we're gearing up for summer reading here, so start planning out your list of books, and we can help you find new ones as well. We'll talk to you later. Bye!